Well, you have the slides on the agenda consultation. I won't walk through them page by page, but just to introduce them briefly. As you probably know from the due process handbook, we have to do an agenda consultation every 3 years, or it's referred to as the request for information actually in the handbook. The first agenda consultation was completed in 2012, and therefore we'll be developing the agenda or the request for information starting in the first half of next year with a view to publishing it by the end of next year in accordance with a three-year timeline. As you know, our work programme very broadly could be split between developing financial reporting and maintaining existing standards. Within the financial reporting space, obviously part of that is completing the literature. And we also, as you know, are working on the conceptual framework. As you've also just heard, we have an extensive research programme at this point. So those are all elements of that financial reporting development piece. And in terms of maintenance of existing standards, obviously we do now have the post-implementation reviews going on and all the interpretations work that goes on. That's all I really wanted to say in terms of teeing this up. There are four questions on slide 7, the very last slide, and I just suggest we walk through each one in turn. So the first question is, what are your expectations from the agenda consultation?
Yeah, we understand that there are a number of backlog from our project identified through the agenda consultation 2011. However, we think that the IASB should avoid seeking a constituent view in a limited fashion. We think that asking questions in an open-ended manner would be more helpful for constituent in different jurisdictions to positively think about the most important area and their surroundings, thereby more effectively help the IASB identify the priority of its project. In addition, we think it's worthwhile for the ASAF to periodically review if the IASB's project are appropriate and up to date. This can be done, for example, by having a separate session in the ASAF meeting annually so that the ASAF members would have opportunities to proactively think about the appropriateness of the IASB's active and research project. In addition, it would be helpful if the agenda consultation document explicitly acknowledges the available resources of both the IASB board members and the staff. The consultation document should also explain that if the resource is not readily available, the ISB might recruit relevant staff and ask national standard setters to provide human resource contribution. And further, when feedback to the post-implementation review identifies area that warrant the ISB to give further consideration, we think that the ISB should identify the issue as an active project in a timely manner, rather than trying to ask a similar question again as a part of agenda consultation. For example, having regard to feedback received to the post-implementation review of IFRS 3, we believe that the IASB should identify several issues as those requiring immediate consideration. They would include whether to reintroduce the amortization and the impairment approach for acquired goodwill, how to separately identify and measure part of the intangible asset at business combination, and what the appropriate definition of business would be. Thank you.
Could I ask you, Gary, on your first point about keep it open-ended? Last time we had the agenda consultation, we had a debate on whether we should put a sort of a straw man up, you know, the board's suggestion of what the agenda should be. And we decided not to, and we just gave a great long list and said, you can add to that list if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think we should do this time?
I think, you know, this time, you know, still, you know, we should do the same, you know, manner as you did in 2011 consultation.
Well, I think we can do both. I mean, mm-hmm. first of all, we do have a research program, and it would be silly to ignore it. And I think, you know, we can put that up for discussion, and our constituents can tell us what to prioritize or not. And on top of that, we cannot prevent anybody from stating their mind about what we should be doing apart from the research agenda. So obviously, it will also always have an open-ended character. But I think it will be a bit different from the previous agenda consultation, where we didn't give much suggestion as to what should be done. Now we have this research agenda on the table, and again, we would be silly to ignore that. But on top of that, I mean, obviously, everybody can suggest what they want. But looking at the research agenda that we have and what you can possibly still think of, I'm not worried that we will have a lack of projects after the big four have been ended, hopefully, in the near future.
Yeah, and if I just add, I forgot to mention before, one of the objectives we have for the research program now is to make sure that by the time the request for information or request for views goes out, that there is a document of some sort on each of those projects to help you be informed. And that could just be, in some cases, it's going to be a staff paper, but there will be more analysis there. I think when we went out previously, we had a paragraph on each of the projects. Now we're going to have some cases discussion papers and other cases research papers and so on. So hopefully you'll have a lot more information. And I always think if somebody wants to add two projects, they should tell us which two to come off as well. It would be helpful.
Diesel?
To use structure of the question, the expectation would indeed include something like the overall possibilities, the overall resources, because we are not really a believer in having a huge shopping list where some things might finally make it to being active in 10 or 20 years. So it should be relatively close to what you really can do during the next few years. You had in the agenda consultation 11, the framework, big projects and maintenance. I guess that structure has proven difficult in some areas where the borderline between maintenance and bigger projects isn't that obvious, but that will remain the same. When you look at the maintenance, there seems to be room for having it more issue or theme oriented rather than at least the perception now that you look at the, just for argument's sake, numerous things for IS28 or something like that, so that you have more targeted blocks or something like that. It comes down to two more issues I'd like to mention. First of all, there has been on some issues a bit of a ping pong between the IFRIC and the board, which has not seemed to be too productive or outcome oriented, or however you would like to phrase that. Of course, the IFRIC is not really upfront in the mind when you look at the agenda consultation, but as you farm out some of the maintenance to the IFRIC, that's where it comes up and you see that, well, it doesn't work that smoothly. And maybe to do the full round again, the last time there was a cry out for a period of calm. And it's not just the resources of the board and the staff members, but it's the resources of those who have to live with whatever you produce afterwards. And you said before that maintenance, you're not running out of issues. However, to parcel them up and not have very explicitly on IS1 sort of more than one maintenance item per year is not perceived as being extremely helpful. I see, or we see absolutely, why you would go for, as you seem to phrase it, low-hanging fruit. However, having to apply a slightly different text of IS1 means that you have in big groups all the companies, all the chief accountants to have to get used to that and change a bit here and change a bit there, and to have changes only every other year would be highly appreciated by some.
Could I just ask you about the resources question, which Yukio also raised? And you kind of said we should look to things we could complete within, say, this agenda consultation. But if we were to take on something like intangibles or extractive industries,
or IS 19,
they could take a lot longer than that. So are you saying we shouldn't do those long-term?
No. Sorry, then I have phrased it extremely unhelpfully, because I would be the one to argue, and we would likely, or will likely be, to argue for IS 19. We are aware that you will have some heavyweights. However, how many heavyweights can you muster at the same time?
So it's not just us, it's our constituents as well.
Has to be, well, maybe on the heavyweights, a realistic milestone within those years. And you are aware, of course, as we all are, that you have had some heavyweights for more than one agenda consultation period, more than two agenda consultation periods, but at least some kind of realistic milestone in that area.
But can I just push back on milestones too? We're having this debate internally, sort of KPIs, and one of them is, you know, we're too slow. But often if we go too quickly, we're also criticised. So, you know, while it's good to set up a milestone on extractive industries that you'll have an ED in 2.5 years or so, that may not be the best track to follow. It may be taking 4 years is better than taking 2.5 years, you know what I mean? So I'm very cautious about milestones, quite frankly.
It depends also on the nature, though, in that I'm hoping the research program that I wouldn't predict an ED for extractives or even IS19, actually, but I might predict a research paper or a discussion paper that gets us partway there, that documents the types of schemes and characteristics. And so as long as we're realistic about the milestone, I think that there's some merit.
Work pretty well for a conceptual framework, Ian, otherwise we would not even be close to finishing an exposure draft. Constance?
I'm going to start with maybe a stupid comment, but in terms of a triennial consultation, I would have expected that the 3 years are counted from either between the two launch dates or the two completion dates, but not between the completion date and the next launch date. So I was really surprised when I saw in the paper that the expectation is that the request for information would be launched by the end of 2015. I was expecting that it would be, in fact, if not at the end of 2014 now, at least in the early days of 2015. The other two comments I wanted to make, because basically on the work of the IFRIC, Liesl, I have not much to add to what Liesl said. So I think it would be important for our constituents and even for ourselves to better see the link that there is or should be or between the post-implementation reviews and the agenda consultation, the maintenance of the agenda, because these post-implementation reviews represent quite a lot of work for everyone, for the ISB, but also for constituents. And if constituents cannot have a clarity as to how useful all this work is, the post-implementation reviews to come might not be as effective as they could be, and I really believe that they are extremely useful. And because I believe that they are extremely useful, have you thought of extending, in fact, the notion of post-implementation reviews? I was struck in the papers yesterday on pensions that, in fact, when a post-implementation review was considered, it was a post-implementation review of the last amendments of 2011 and not a post-implementation review of IS 19. So could there be this idea that it's only after the IFRS production after a certain date that are candidate for post-implementation reviews, but more, you know, when there is evidence, for example, at the maintenance level that a standard is causing problem, that the post-implementation review, well, maybe you will not, a consultation such as a post-implementation review would help clarify, identify, categorize the difficulties and feed into some form of agenda decisions.
So you could make that point in your submission, it would be helpful. I mean, we won't be making that point when we ask, I don't think, but it would be good to get the feedback.
I understand that, but I think if when you launch your budget and consultation, it would be good that you explain how you interrelate those.
It would be very hard to explain in a general manner. Depends on what the post-implementation review reveals.
But eventually have a question on what could be standards, you know, that could be subject to post-implementation review if you want only to remain at the question level.
I think the main choice to be made is, I think overall, the older standards tend to be more defective than the newer ones. And the choice has to be made, do you want to spend a lot of resources on recently issued standards and tinker with them, or do you try to solve the problems of the older standards that might be much bigger? And you know, that's I wouldn't want to make a general statement about that, but that is case by case, I think you have to look at it.
Yeah, I think we are having requests for information, for example, about some, as we start some of the older projects and standards, and so we might not call it a formal post-implementation review, but the fact that we're consulting and asking, we're effectively, I think, getting the same sort of thing. And interestingly, with IS 19, we will have to ask the question whether we even should bother with a post-implementation review of IS 19 or actually go put more energy into creating a replacement. And as part of that consultation process, you'll find out issues to do with 19 anyway. So I think Hans is right too. It's a matter of the particular thing, and rather than sort of create a box that says post-implementation review, we just make sure we've got the right mechanisms to get information. So we're not closing off the old projects.
Roger?
Could I just make one point on your first point on the timeline, Francois? I think part of the, I hear your point, yes, part of the idea is what Alan was saying earlier, is to be able to develop what we currently have on the research agenda to a point where we're actually asking, to Yukio's point, much more specific points rather than have very open-ended questions. So it ought to make the process much more helpful and specific, if you like, if we follow that timeline.
And I was going to make a similar point. I mean, it seems to me, having encouraged you to go for a research or an evidence-based standard setting process, you know, we should live with that. So you've already got research projects on the stocks, and we assume that you've got that pipeline and that they will come out of the other end unless they prove not to be working. And so it seems to me the next agenda consultation should actually be commenting on what you've got in the pipeline and commenting on other research projects to add to the pipeline. It would have to be quite urgent to try and break it into that process. And the related point is, at the moment you're getting a lot of requests where there's inconsistency in practice for narrow scope amendments. To me, this is, I don't think the history of the recent ones has been encouraging. It's because it's making minor changes to a standard which might not actually be very coherent to start with, and all it does is produces new problems. So I'd encourage the board to be very resistant to taking on narrow scope amendments, unless it's clear that the thing is absolutely broken, and changing it's actually going to help, because I don't think recent examples have suggested that it does help.
We've had three at this meeting, haven't we? Pensions, foreign exchange, and equity account, where we could easily go back to basics.
Yeah, rather than tweak something, because the tweak just produces new problems, and we'd add a fourth, which is the...
Criticised then for not dealing with, current issues. That's this.
Yeah. But that's something that could be raised in the agenda consultation, and we'd be happy to, to give you our views on that. Yeah.
Clement?
Yeah, very high level strategic points. Mindful about the number of research projects on that list, and also mindful that not all of them would end up in standard at the end. However, you know, also quite you know, sort of remember about, you know, the commitment of a period of calm, and for that on the balance, I think if we can keep that period of calm and spend the time on maybe you need more time on overseeing the implementation of new standard as well. So that is a reminder from the group.
And consistent implementation overall, even with the older standards, is something we need to focus on.
Linda?
Yeah, and I just want to reiterate the point Clement just made, but I think Liesl's mentioned it, and Ian, you said it too. Remember our constituents. So I've been out going across the country because we're in the process of getting some preliminary input for our next strategic plan. And when I talk about the agenda consultation, which I do, and tell people to expect it next year, and that we'll need to hear from them, they are reiterating that we have big standards coming down the pike that they need to start implementing. And so the strain on both the payer and auditor side of things, they're getting ready for it. So we just need to be realistic about how much we can ask our constituents to do and respond to us. And so I just reiterate those comments.
Liesl, did you want to get back in?
There was one buzzword coming up which I probably forgot or put aside. I probably are best phrased in the singular, would have the expectation that you at some stage signal which post-implementation review you will do next, because we haven't really talked about post-implementation reviews. There is sometimes the danger in the debate that from the agenda consultation you drift off into the due process handbook. We're clear that we're talking about the agenda consultation and not about the due process handbook, but somehow it's of course linked. And you've done IFAS 8, you've done IFAS 3, you haven't fully concluded yet what will be the subsequent amendments, if any, on IFAS 3. But then where's the next first implementation review? And we had the debate before that you wanted to mainly start on newer standards, but then some of us, including me, would say, well, you've got quite a number of interesting old ones. I'm not talking necessarily about, just for argument's sake, IS-2 inventory or something like that, but sort of on the brink IS-19 or whatever, and I think your sort of overall maintenance would mean that there would be at least one or two post-implementation reviews coming up the horizon.
Well, we have the programmed ones. The board hasn't yet discussed those because there's a matter of priority as well. It's been suggested by some that we make sure the IFRS 11 review is earlier rather than later. And we've got IFRS 13, for example, you know, I think it's 2022 would be the rough plan for IFRS 9. So we know which ones we're required to at least initiate.
If we look at an older standard, that's definitely broken. Do we need a post implementation review?
It's a question how you label it. Looking at the empirical studies and whatever you would do anyway, and if you label it as post implementation review or not, that's
my point. You start a research project on something, you go and do a request for information. You can call it a post implementation review, but you're getting the same information back.
I think, you know, the basic question is to find the right mix between the post-implementation reviews of recent standards and fixing what is broken in the older standards. That's the main question, I think. Okay. Any other comments?
There's three other questions, but I mean, we've moved around quite a bit. I guess I did want to specifically ask, though, whether anybody sees any projects that should come off the agenda, because we keep adding things. There is a question about whether...
Well, that you can do during the consultation, I would say.